Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we're intentional about slowing down and stopping so that we hear the Word of God. I pray that as you hear the lesson that's appointed for this day, you will take time to ruminate and to think about and reflect upon God's Word that you hear, and you seek to incorporate it into your life, that it would help you in your own walk with Jesus. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we can either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The gospel reading that's appointed for this day comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there any among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Prayer is one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. Sometimes we try to overcomplicate this, but prayer at its essence is simply this: communicating with God. Notice I said communicating with God. It's just not talking with God, but it's communicating, which is both talking and listening. When we pray, we lift up those things that are on our hearts, and then we try to quiet ourselves to hear what God is saying to us. Prayer is so important, and I encourage you to always take time, daily, if not more than once a day, to spend time with God, to communicate, to express those things on your heart, and to listen to God. Prayer is at the center of our text today. Jesus was praying. He was there, and the disciples saw him talking with God. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." They wanted to know, how do we do this? And notice what Jesus does. he gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. In this version, the language is a little bit different. There's a little bit difference in the language between the version in Matthew versus Luke. But essentially, the core is there. We begin, we address God, Father. And then it goes through some petitions. I want us to take a moment and think about this Lord's Prayer. Because too often, I think we go, well, we pray to God. We may lift up some petitions. But do we take seriously what we're praying? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, do we really mean what we say? Do we think about what it is that we're praying? Or in some ways, does our brain just kind of click into that autopilot? And we go, here we go, and we just say it. That sometimes it's easy, we fall into that groove where the words just come out and it's almost like we don't even have to think about it. It becomes so rote. I know at times when I do some nursing home services, there will be people that don't seem to be able to be aware of everything that's going on. But at times when you do a service and you do the Lord's Prayer, even if they can't seem to follow anything else, they're able to mouth the words of the Lord's Prayer or certain hymns, that it's so deeply ingrained in our brain that it's just a part of us. And I think that's so critical. But sometimes that can also become dangerous because we just kind of know it. We do it. But do we think about it? So think deeply about this. It begins, Father. It says, may your name be revered as holy. Right? The version we tend to use, Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Think about that. When you say things, are you making God's name holy through the words that you use? Not just in prayer, but always. If we speak ill of others, does that really make God's name holy? If you think about all people as children of God, people, all people made in the image of God, when we denigrate others, or we put them in a different class, or we think less of, what is that that we're saying about the image of God? How is it that in all that we say, we make God's name holy? It's not just, oh, well, you don't say, you know, certain words. But how is it that we use our language, as Luther talks about, to lift up praise and thanksgiving to God, to give God thanks for all things? And when we do that, when we use our language properly, we make God's name holy. We revere all that God has made, all of creation, all people. Hallowed be your name. And then it goes on, may your kingdom come. Think for a moment. In your life, in your actions, in your thoughts, how do they bring about God's kingdom? Does the way that we think about critical issues, immigration, sexuality, do those bring about God's kingdom? Do we demonize others? Do we split people into certain groups, Republicans and Democrats, us and them? When we do that, is that really making God's kingdom come? What is it that God desires? I think part of the core, Jesus goes to the cross to redeem all people, to reconcile himself to all people. And how is it that sometimes when we treat others badly, when we demonize them, are we really making God's kingdom come? How is it in our life and in our actions we help bring the kingdom to bear? Not in a legalistic way, but in a way that God's love and mercy gets displayed. Give us each day our daily bread. Most of us don't think much about this petition. Most of us don't struggle for daily bread. But the reality is there's more and more people in our world, and not just in countries across the globe, but people in our own community that struggle to put decent, nutritious meals on their table. The number of kids in our community in the Seymour area that qualify for free lunches tells us that there are people that struggle for daily bread. And I think in this petition, part of it calls us not just to think about how I provide daily bread for me or my family, but how can I be a part of making sure others have daily bread? How can I help with food pantries or a feeding ministry or some other way that God's kingdom comes about and we help others to know that notion of daily bread? And part of it, Luther says, it's not just about food, it's about all those things that we need. But I think it's easy to see, just in the notion of food, how is it that we help all people to receive daily bread? Forgive us our sins. This one's easy. We ask God to forgive us. God offers that through his Son, Jesus, who gives his life on the cross, who through shedding his blood washes our sins away. The next line, I think a lot of people would probably wish Jesus would have left off. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Right? The traditional language in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Stop and reflect upon that. It's super easy for us to think and to receive that forgiveness that God gives to us. But how easy is it for us to give that forgiveness to others who have hurt us? How easy is it for us to forgive other people? That can be difficult. We tend to hold grudges. We tend to hold on to the hurt that people have inflicted upon us. This prayer challenges us to really think and go, wait a minute. If God has forgiven me and I receive that mercy and forgiveness, shouldn't I extend mercy and forgiveness to others? Who is it in your life that you need to extend forgiveness to? Who is it that you need to forgive? And then it finishes, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Praying that we wouldn't come to temptation, but we're delivered from evil. I think as we walk through this prayer, it's easy to say the words, but I challenge you to use this in your own life, to reflect upon what God is doing and to say, wait a minute, do I mean what I pray? Am I serious about these things? And what can I do so that this prayer becomes a reality. That God's name is holy. God's kingdom comes. People have daily bread. And people experience forgiveness. How can you live this out and enliven that within your own life day to day? May this prayer not just be something that we say maybe at nighttime or when we gather for public worship, but may it shape how we live our life and seek to be followers. May we say, like the disciples, Jesus, teach us to pray. And then use this as a guide to not only shape how we pray, but to shape how we live. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray using these precious words that we call the Lord's Prayer. Send your Spirit upon us so that as we lift this prayer to you, we may reflect and may hear the words that come from our mouth and help us to enflesh it in our daily actions. Help us to live this life that's formed by the words that we pray. May we say Amen, which means so be it, that when we pray this prayer, we say yes, may this be the case. Help us and challenge us to live out this prayer in our daily life. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.